Chapter 1. There's a line with every person you will encounter, and you won't even know it's there until it's been crossed. From The Working Man's Guide to Sleuthing for a Living, an unpublished manuscript by Albert Taylor, P.I.
And down,
the chipper blonde yoga instructor commanded her victims.
Bite me, I grumbled under my breath.
What was that?
Agnes Taylor, a.k.a. Mom, a.k.a. Woman with ears like a bat, glanced over at me from her elegant forward bend. Her palms rested flat on the floor, her middle flush against her thighs like a folding ladder.
Sheesh! If I tried to look another direction while in that position,
I'd faceplant onto my brand spanking new purple yoga mat.
Yippee!
I covered and pasted a smile on my face, trying to ignore the twinging back muscles as I reached for my toes. My fingers dangled hopelessly several inches above the sparkly, polished little piggies, making me feel both much older and much more ridiculous than the crowd in the Stretching for Seniors class, a.k.a. SFS, most of whom collected a monthly Social Security check. That's not really what the yoga class was called, but since the instructor and I were probably the only people under 65 in the room, it's what I'd mentally dubbed the 45-minute torture session.
Now breathe in,
Chippy McBendy instructed. That was so not gonna happen. What with my diaphragm folded up like an accordion and all? Instead, I focused on not passing out. It seemed like a good moment to take stock of my life. They call me Mackenzie Elizabeth Taylor I. My red hair, my sly wit, and a really hot Challenger Hellcat were my only real claims to fame, although at the moment my boobs were defying the laws of physics to remain tucked into my sports bra. On a normal Wednesday morning, I would be hard at work tailing unfaithful spouses or insurance scammers in an effort to get the money shot for my pseudo-employer, Leonard Copeland, attorney at law. Since we'd wrapped our latest case the night before, Len was heading out of town to visit family. That left me free to take some much-needed time off to enjoy St. Patrick's Day. In my adopted hometown of Boston, St. Patrick's Day is a big, fat deal. Considered the most Irish of any city in America, Beantown adds its own unique flavor to the traditional celebration. It seems every inhabitant in the city claims some Irish heritage, and even the ones who don't come out to enjoy the revelries along with people from all over the world. Mardi Gras, eat your heart out. My initial plans included pub crawling with my boyfriend, Hunter Black, on Friday night, indulging in fatty snacks, Celtic music, and an Irish film festival with my daughter on Saturday, and then meeting up with the Black family at the traditional parade through Southie on Sunday, followed by Sunday gathering back at their house. The Blacks were fifth-generation Bostonians, and Hunter was the latest generation in law enforcement. With so much scheduled for the weekend, catching a little beauty sleep and some serious veg time had been my top priority.